And now for something completely different.
Smoke medical.
We eat every day.
The following thoughts on Hoppy Hour represent Ryan Hoppy and Fastit. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoppy Hour.
He's the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoppy Hour.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour starts in 4, 3, 2, Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour with Hoppy.
Oh my goodness. On the phone line is Brother Weez. What's up, bro?
Good, bro. How are you? Listen, are you on the radio in Tampa?
I work behind the scenes at a radio company. I am not currently on the radio, but I do very well with my podcast.
That's fantastic. So what's the name of your podcast?
My podcast is called Hoppy Hour, and I've had you twice on the show. I had you on in 2015 and 2018, and then I was like, looking back at all the shows I did, and I was like, oh my goodness, I need to have Brother Weez on again.
Well, here we are, my brother. Take a shot. You know, Do you know BJ, right?
Yeah, so Nelson, you know Nelson. He works out in Sacramento. He goes to the morning show boot camp all the time. He said there was something that you brought up about BJ Shea that he wanted you to talk about on the podcast.
Well, this BJ is the luckiest guy in radio. What happened was at KISW in Seattle, where BJ lives now. He had a great show on KISW, even with his daughter, Sarah, but they didn't renew his contract. So he told me that this summer. And I go, geez, I can't believe it. You got great ratings. And then about a couple of weeks ago, he says, well, this is it. You know, I'm having my final show Friday, last Friday, and I want you to call. I want to call you. I want you to be on the air, talk about the old days. So he does, and we're on the air. He goes, I'm going to have to come to Rochester. I'll be your intern. And then, of course, I find out off the air, he's so lucky because Danny Bonaducci has some kind of really bad illness. And he's on the air in Seattle, and Friday was his last day. Today they announced at 9 this morning that BJ's taking the job. So he starts at Bonaducci Station January 8th. Lucky as hell.
How proud of you are you of BJ Shea over the years? Because you gave him his big break, correct?
Well, he likes to say, you know, I didn't give him such a, well, I guess I started him in, on the road to where he ended up. You know, he was with me first. I got him out of Boston, and we had a pretty cute run together, great run, good brothers. And then he was, let's see, he went to like three other markets, became friends with our good buddy Bob Rivers, and Bob helped him get a job in Seattle. And then that's where he is now.
I personally have not met Bob Rivers, but I actually listened to some of his old shows a few days ago online, and that guy is really talented.
Well, you should put him on. He's a great kid, great friend of mine. You should get him on.
That's what I plan on doing. And that's also what I like about you, Brother Weez, is that you're friends with a lot of people on radio. We're friends from the morning show boot camp 10 years ago. A lot of radio people don't want to talk to other people or see other people win. And what I've liked about you is you're just cool, man. Everybody's your bro. You're a really good radio guy.
Well, I appreciate it, but I'm just me. And, you know, I want all my friends to do well. Want everybody to do as well as they can. That's part of morning show boot camp, helping each other.
What were some of the best things over the years that you learned at the morning show boot camp?
I can't lie. I don't think I learned anything. I went there to commune with our good friends from around the country. I'm not a bit guy. I was always anti hacky bits.
Yes.
A lot of people, that's their show. And a lot of listeners, there are plenty of people that like bits. But I had a really great run just being completely honest and legitimate and being ourselves. So I never learned anything that I can think of. We just made a lot of really good friends. That's it. What'd you learn?
I would say just meeting people and having lifelong friends like you, BJ Shea, David Mahoney, like just meeting a lot of mentors. I learned a lot. It definitely helped mold me into being talented in radio because I began when I was 19 and 18. But I'm kind of with you. I can't think of like one thing I learned.
It was just fun. I'm so old now, Ryan.
Yeah.
I don't want to say how old because your listeners will go, who the fuck wants to hear this guy? But I'm so old now, I don't go anymore. And matter of fact, starting in January, I'm on the last year of my contract. And pretty much that should be it. I'm broadcasting from Fort Lauderdale. I'm in my condo right now on the ocean. It's just, I'm loving life down here. I'm lucky I can broadcast from here.
How amazing is Florida for you? I live about 4 hours from you in Tampa Bay for about the last decade.
Well, I hear great things about Tampa Bay, Tampa. But Fort Lauderdale, I mean, I have a lot of friends here. I just went out to lunch with some of my friends from this building to a phenomenal restaurant on the Intercoastal. And, you know, we're sitting there outside, high-end food, going, how fucking lucky are we? I almost feel guilty. It's so phenomenal down here. And there's a lot of people I see that make fun of Florida. You know, there are things you can make fun of. You know, people accuse me, because I'm from New York State, of moving here because it's political. For moving here for taxes, that's got nothing to do with it. My mommy lives here for a zillion years. I have two old sisters that live here. We just love Florida. It's got nothing to do with taxes. It's a nice break, but that's not why we're here. We're here because people love living here. It's a ball.
So now your show is on from 9 to noon. Has it been nice to sleep in a little bit? Because you were doing 6 to 10 a.m.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? For 38 years, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. For prep and everything to get ready. And back when I used to have to drive to the studio. This is so phenomenal. It's like they're calling it mid-morning. I don't care what they call it. And I will tell you, morning radio used to be the most important segment. And my friend Kevin LeGret, I don't know if you know Kevin, he used to work with me from when he was a kid. And now he's one of the top people at iHeart in Los Angeles. He's a very big shot. And he told me a number of years ago that afternoon drive and later on are becoming a bigger sell. So I don't care about, where I am. This 9 to noon, I'm in heaven, having a ball.
How often do you talk to Greg Opie Hughes?
Oh, Greg, we're like really close. I could do this podcast, whenever I feel like it, but I'm lazy. I talk to Opie and he visits here. I talk to him not more than about once a month. I can't believe how hard he works on that podcast.
Yeah, I'm a big Opie fan because I thought he was the one that led the Opie and Anthony show and what made it so great. And he has a lot of haters online. And I've often said, because I'll get some haters from my time with Rover and whatnot, and I'll often say that haters are fans in disguise. You know, like if they're talking about you and it's not because of some awful crime, then you're winning.
Amen. The other thing is, you called it right on the nose. Opie did what I do on my shows, lead the show. A lot of people that hate him, I mean, I don't follow any of that shit, so I don't know what they say. But obviously, Anthony could do voices, and he was the comedian, and he was funny, and he brought Jim Norton in, Opie brought Norton in. And, you know, it was a team. But Opie led the show. And people don't understand that. That has a big, it's just a big thing in the radio broadcast world. Who's leading? And Opie was great at it.
So, over the years, you've mentored the guy you mentioned, Kevin. You mentored Stephanie Miller. You mentored BJ Shea, Opie. What is it like to see the people that you worked with do greatness?
It couldn't be better. I mean, it's so joyful. I love it because I was taken care of. You know, I mean, wouldn't I like to make the money that any of them went and made? But, you know, I was taken care of very, very, very well. And I just had a great life, and I had... I could do whatever I want. I didn't have to have a program director. Once I started winning so big that it was just my own thing. So I am. It makes me feel great that those people also recognize me. They know where it came from, and I couldn't be prouder. I don't know how many other people in broadcasting around the country have that many guys that work for them that went on to this level.
How nice has it been? What's it like working with your wife on the radio?
My wife, you know, I never even went to college.
Yeah.
When people used to ask me, you know, where'd you go back when I was younger? University of Southeast Asia. I said, because I did 3 tours in Vietnam as an 11 Bravo infantryman. And so that's where I went to school. I learned a lot. But my wife has got a master's degree in optical engineering. She worked for the government in the penthouse, in the Pentagon. And, you know, she's smart. It's just it weren't your wife. It's tough because I'm not used to, this just started. I'm not used to sitting right next to my own wife. And she loves talking. She's bright. Sometimes I get aggravated, but it's going to get better and better. She has some great days, and she really helps me. She helps me in every other aspect of my life. But on the radio, I think she'll get better, and I believe that after my contract is over, that her and I'll do a podcast.
So, Brother Weeds, I went to Rochester, New York about 10 years ago when I worked on Rover's show, and I drank a lot, and I was a big fan of the garbage plates. Over the years, are you a fan of the garbage plates?
Absolutely.
So good.
I even have a t-shirt. I love a garbage plate. Love it.
Now,
I didn't know you were in. Listen,
yeah.
Last time I was on your show, I said some things about the Rover. And of course, it got back to him. But I have to tell you, bro, I can't. Now he's, you know, he's six to. Now he's on before me, you know, on my station. And I see the text. For some reason, I'm sure the guy's fabulous. I've never listened but I hear that it's for younger people. I don't know anything.
Well,
boy, go ahead.
You know what's funny? So here's what made that interview legendary. So I got fired from his show in March 2015. They kept feeding me drinks at the at this bar crawl, and I got blackout drunk. I was 21 on the biggest show in Cleveland, and I got really drunk. And I'll take responsibility, but they also were looking for a reason to get rid of me. But here's what's funny. 6 months later, in September 2015, I interviewed you, and you were trying to pump me up because at that time, Rover was talking about me all the time. And you asked me, how many listeners do you get on your podcast? And now I've gone to speech class. I've really worked on my speech impediment over the last 10 years. And you asked me, how many listens do you get? And with my ADHD, I said 70 downloads. Like, I really emphasized the downloads. And for the Pat, yeah. And he played our audio on air. And I'll get these tweets all the time, bro. 9 years later, people are like, 70 downloads. It's the weirdest thing ever, bro.
Why? You know, were you friends with the kid?
With Rover?
Yeah.
He was really talented and I learned a lot, but we didn't really vibe.
So why did they want to get rid of you?
I was young and immature. Like, I had just moved out of my house, and my role on the show was more of like a whipping boy. It wasn't ever going to be something that was respected. I'll take some blame for like being a little immature in that, but people still talk about me. People listen to my show from Cleveland. Like, I made an impact on that city. Like, for example, at my job, my boss is from Cleveland, and all his friends knew who I was, and it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like Rover thought he was like going to hurt me by talking about me.
And, right. Like,
but it, right. It made me, I was there, bro, for 2.5 months.
That's it? Why? Yeah, how'd you get the job in the first place?
He had an opening. So I was a fan of him when he was on in Chicago for like 7 months, 18 years ago, when he replaced Howard Stern for 7 months. And I was a fan of him. So he had an opening for the phones. So I drove out twice and it went pretty good. But he's definitely one of those cats that doesn't talk to anybody else. And I had aspirations to do bigger things than just answer phones forever. But I also take some blame. I was immature. I was getting drunk every weekend. But, bro, he has, like, a lot of listeners in Cleveland, and I was getting recognized everywhere. But it's just so funny, man. I'll post a podcast, and some of the comments will be like, 70 downloads, 70 downloads. I'm just like, wow. It's fascinating, bro.
So the 70 downloads, when people said that they're trying to make fun of you, correct?
Yeah, and it's like, you're talking about me. I've never committed a crime. I'm just like, you know, it's funny. It's hilarious because it actually says more about Rover that he had to talk about me after I was let go. Like, if I was so big and bad on his show, why did he continue to talk about me and some of my breakups I went through? I find you were never really a filthy shock jock. You were just a genuine non-radio guy that got into radio. But then 90s, right. 2000s era, Brother Weeze, of the shock jock was a weird era, man. The whole thing is bizarre.
What speech impediment are you talking about?
I hide it and I got it fixed, but like sometimes, for example, I'll say words kind of long. So like I said 70 downloads. Like I really emphasized the download.
I got you.
And it's not that noticeable, but I was really nervous interviewing you back then. And it was so funny because I remember for like 2 months, I kept getting these tweets that said 70 downloads. And I'm like, what does this fucking mean? And then I asked somebody in Cleveland and they're like, oh, they keep playing your audio clip from your interview with Weeze. But you know what I really think? Because I don't care anymore. It's going on 10 years. You know what I really think it was, bro? Was the fact that you were the king of that city. You are the king of Rochester, New York. I put up a picture of you coming on Hoppy Hour, and it gets 90 likes in an hour. Like, you are going to be remembered forever for that city. And Rover does well, but he's an out-of-towner that's syndicated there. And I think he was mad that he was trying to portray me as this idiot, and then I have the guy who crushed him in the ratings, and it was like, I think it drove him nuts, man.
Well, that's a strong possibility, and, you know, now being that he's on right in front of me, I mean, you could make fun. Well, why didn't he last in Chicago back when he was there?
I don't know if he wasn't a good fit, but that, I mean, it's very hard. I'll give him credit. He put on a good show because I was a fan of him, but it's very hard to replace Howard Stern. And that also, Chicago is Steve Dahl's city. And I mean, it's very hard to do a shock jock show when that city already had Mankow, Jonathan Brandmeier, Steve Dahl, Kevin Matthews. I just think it wasn't the best fit because Chicago already heard shock jock radio from those guys.
Wait a minute, you're telling me, like I said, I've never heard Rover's show. Is he a shock jock?
Oh, dude, he's filthy. He's very dirty. Not anymore, but he's like, he'll have girls that are in porn on the show and that, and he's very dirty.
Bro, that shit is so old. back in the day, I had all the naked bras. I had all the porn bitches. They had porn star birth. But, you know, as you grow older, as I was growing, I remember when I quit doing naked broads and Stern was still doing them, and he finally, I think he quit doing them.
Yes, oh, totally. He doesn't, even on his, even on his channel on Sirius Radio, when they play old shows, they don't play anything with any sexualness of women.
Yeah, I mean, you do it when it was something that would be unique and it was fun. But once that, you know, it's like comedians. I used to have all the comedians in my studio. These are things that other guy we're talking about probably never had. And, you know, nowadays, but I watch comedy now. I've had Jerry Seinfeld in the studio, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, Jay Leno. I forget half the people. Sam Kinison was like my best buddy. This is back a million years ago. But today, holy shit, everybody's a comedian. All the people that used to be open micers are on TV now. My buddy that owns a local comedy club, I mean, every week, new people, who ever heard of them? Everybody's a comedian. As a matter of fact, I just watched this one of the comedy specials, like on Netflix or something, and they were so hacky.
Yes.
Every one of them used fuck every fourth word, which I did in my career. I just decided, I told my wife, I'm going to try and, I've been profane my whole life. Really profane, but I think I'm gonna possibly work on not saying fuck. I'm not kidding you, because it's hack. It's who doesn't?
Have you ever sworn on air on accident?
Oh yeah. Matter of fact, early in my career, real early, before I even had the morning show. I was on overnight one night. I was just learning how to do it. And I forgot to take the mic off. And then, you know, I had played commercials. And I'm sitting there, and I don't hear anything coming out of the speakers. I'm so new. I go, oh, fuck. And Tripp Reeb, the guy that invented me and put me in radio, was in his office that late at night. And he came in and said, please push that button. You didn't take the lights off. I go, oh, my God. He says, just keep going and don't ever do it again. But I tell you something funny. Christmas, I used to this only lasted about maybe 3 years. I used to do a show, 24-hour radio show, Krishna Hana Kwanzaa, we called it. And we did it right about now. And we start off at the morning show. We used to have clients come in. They would buy a half an hour for charity. We tried to raise money for charity. Then about 1 a.m, we're still on. All my buddies that own the bars in Rochester, Tony D's, all the bar people used to come up to the show, and we would have a ball, tons of alcohol. You know, we're on until 6 the next morning. And my friend, may he rest in peace, Tony D. Tony D has one of the hottest restaurants in Rochester, New York, and Tony was one of my best friends. Unfortunately, he died at 54 years old. That's pretty young for dying of a heart situation. But Tony used to come up drunk, and he laid F-bombs out. I like to, we used to say, Tony D has a national record for getting delayed. And I am 100% positive of that. You might wonder, how can I be sure he holds the record? Because any other real radio station where somebody said fuck and had to get delayed, they would probably throw him out of the station. But being it was like 2:30 in the morning, we just said, Tony. And you know, after a while, you run out of delay. And he actually, over about an hour, said fuck 13 times, which we had a delay. It was fun, and I know he holds the record, and may he rest in peace.
Did the FCC ever come against you, Weez?
No, that's another thing that really freaks me out about broadcasting. The management, you know how management is, they're so uptight about rules. And, you know, they got rules. But it just aggravates the shit out of me. Censorship is killing me. The fact that every kid has a phone these days and everything's available to them. The fact that on another kind of radio, Sirius XM, they can fuck whenever they want to. The fact that it's all over the TV. That, you know, radio, you know, And look at Curb Your Enthusiasm, my favorite show on TV ever. You know, they're profane, and it's just like Seinfeld, but with dirty words, and it's funnier. And I just hate the censorship, and when they say, you know, when I do let a little something go, and management gives me this shit, and not management, actually, my producers, and I tell them, no one's going to complain. You know, can you get in trouble? Can they take the license? Supposedly. But someone has to write a big letter. It's never going to happen. Did you ever see it happen?
Maybe Howard going to Sirius Radio, but I think it was just back in the day from what I've read online that companies just kind of paid the fine because guys like Bubba the Love Sponge had huge fines.
Well, fine isn't losing your license. They talk about losing the license. Come on, will you please? Fines, I get it. Is Bubba the Love Sponge still on the radio?
Yeah, his show does pretty well online, and he's heard on AM radio in Tampa Bay. Like
AM?
Yes.
Well, is that the same show that's online?
Yes.
Whatever happened to when Stern brought him in?
I'm not sure. I think it had to do with money and that. That was like a long time ago. What's up, bro?
Go ahead. I was just saying, you know, Bubba Love Sponge used to motherfucker Stern like crazy, and then all of a sudden he had to kiss his ass to get the gig on the air with him.
That's what I love about you, Weez, is a lot of people walk on eggshells around these radio people, man, and don't say it like it is. But I think the reason why you're in the Radio Hall of Fame and the reason you're regarded as one of the best ever, man, is you keep it real, Brother Weez. I have always respected you for that. Is you say it like it is, man. You have no filter.
Yeah, well, that's all I got. I don't have the talent I don't have any talent, but that I have a personality. And I have a brain with ideas, but I don't do the radio shit. I don't do the bits. We talk, we invite, and we try. Right now, I'm a big football fan, and we're heavy into Buffalo Bills right now. We have a lot of stuff on the air about that, but we have everything. When you get the hate for your show, which every show gets from somebody. I saw somebody sitting on BJ today.
I know.
For going over to Bonaducci, taking Bonaducci's spot on Facebook. They took a crap on BJ. And, I responded. Talk radio, when people try to say, your show sucks, I'm a fan of that show. Talk radio is talk radio. You like every show. You could have the worst show in radio. Somewhere there's a group of people that love you and think you're the best. Talk radio is just people talking. You might like this one, that one, another one. There's no secret. I mean, back when I used to battle with Howard Stern, I had Sam on. We had Howard on with Sam. Back when I used to have all those major guests, I had such a great time. But people used to say, you're not as good as the Howard Stern show. Even though I beat him every book but one the whole time he was against me in Rochester. But the whole thing I used to tell people is, back then when I had confidence and when I knew my show was the shit, I used to say, if I was in New York City, I believe I'd go head-to-head with Howard all day because of the guests. Who am I getting in Rochester, New York to come in? Like, when you're in Manhattan, you got an entree to everybody, and that would make you bigger and bigger and bigger, bigger guests. But after that, it's just talk radio, and whoever likes you. What do you think?
I agree, man. A lot of people respect you because you've held it down in the ROC over the years and that you never lost to Howard. That's very commendable because at that time, from what I've heard of old shows, he was attacking everybody and it was guys like you that stood your ground and did your thing.
Well, I used to get a kick when his people, Jenks, I can't remember, used to call me and try to fuck with me. When we were going against, and I used to say, God, I love that you're calling me. You can make all the jokes you want. Am I so important? Am I that good that Howard has to send his henchmen to try to belittle me? Damn, I must be the shit. You're not calling any other show in town. Why me? Oh, it's because I'm so good. They hated it. Finally had to quit doing it.
What were some of the best parts about working in Rochester, New York?
Well, the only best part was that, that it's a small city. It's a city. I also got a chance to broadcast from Buffalo Bills training camp all summer for about 10 years. That was extra fun. I became very close friends with Doug Flutie. That's going back, I got to admit. But Doug Flutie and I became such good friends. He even called me from the Howard Stern show. He was on Howard Stern show with his band, which his brother is in. And he called me up from the green room while I was on the air. And I said, Doug, you should have never called me. He's going to kill you. And he goes in the studio with Howard from the green room. And the first thing Howard says, what are you doing? We're on the Brother Louis show. And, you know, Doug had to say, Louis is my good friend. You know, he stuck up for me and stood by me, blah, blah, blah. So my Bills relationship was a lot of fun. And at the beginning of the comedy blow up, because you got to understand, now it's one in a mill. But I'm trying to remember years. In the early 90s, maybe the very end of the 80s, is when the comedy club thing was just starting. And that's how I got lucky enough to have the people I mentioned. Well, Sam Kinison was my... I'm still buddies with guys that were in his crew. Sam Kinison. Anyway, Adam Sandler, I told you, Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jay Leno. This, all that shit was phenomenal and heartwarming, and you get a bond. Bobby Slayton, not the biggest name in comedy, but an unbelievable funny guy. Don Marrero, the late, great Kevin Meaney, Richie Shiner. These were early big comics, and we became close friends. Because back when comedians used to have to go on radio shows, when they went to a city, they used to mostly go on top 40 shows. And then the jock would try to be funnier than them and say, okay, you got 5 minutes and make sure you tell jokes. They came to my studio. I kept them there all morning. You don't have to tell a joke. You're just going to be part of the show. And so they bonded with me for being different at that time.
Now, before I let you go, Brother Weeds, When it's all said and done, how do you want people to describe you as a person and your legendary radio career?
Well, I personally do not give a fuck. People that know me, the people that legitimately know me, because I take crap from haters that never knew me. They just know. And when you're in the public eye, Ryan, I'll tell you the truth. When you're in the public eye, no matter if you're a major celebrity or the bottom of the celebrity bucket where I am, people want to take shots. And they also want to tell stories about connecting with you. And if you're a nice guy, it's no good. So people make up stories, and when I hear them, I get outraged because I know they're not true. So when I'm done, at this point, as bad as radio is right now, as bad as it is, when I'm done, look, I'm in the New York Broadcasters Hall of Fame, the National Radio Hall of Fame. I've got other awards. That's my legacy. So say I suck, but somehow I bullshitted people to put me in, so I'm happy. And it was a gift for me. You know, I mean, I was a concert promoter. I went out of Vietnam. I mean, I never knew being, like I mentioned, I never went to, I don't know, I had no idea how I was going to make it through life. I was a drug dealer for a long period of time. And so I fell into this. And with the grace of God and the good luck, what a run. I'm a million years old now. So I got kids, my wife. I'm a lucky fucking guy, bro. Lucky.
You and BJ Shea are very lucky.
Well, BJ actually has talent.
You have talent too.
BJ is lucky now because Danny Bonaducci had to take a bye. BJ's lucky.
Brother Weeds.
But he's talented.
If you are ever in Tampa Bay, we should grab lunch, man. It would be an honor.
Well, I don't think I'll ever be there, but if you ever get down to Fort Lauderdale, you got my number.
That might actually make more sense. I think maybe next month or in the next 2 months, we should grab some lunch.
I'm right here, bro, right next to a great restaurant.
Brother Weeds, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show, and keep up the good work. I listen to your show every day via the podcast.
Take care, Brother Ryan. Happy. See you later.
See you later, Brother Weeze. And that was Brother Weeze. I had some meditation music I was listening to before I began this, so it automatically right now, played for my phone. But guess what? 70 downloads!
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.